about pumpkin spice.
You gotta put it in perspective.
And now, before we eat...
Wait, no one eat!
We... Teddy,
drop it!
We would like to present our Thanksgiving song!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
You love having Thanksgiving dinner with your family and enjoying a second serving of a delicious home-cooked meal. But afterwards, you feel stuck and restricted in your uncomfortable jeans, khakis, or slacks. You try to unbutton your pants for relief, but they're too tight. You're trapped. Stop the frustration and the embarrassment. The solution is here. Introducing Stovetop Thanksgiving Dinner Pants. This is the stuff Thanksgiving is made of and the perfect way to enjoy Thanksgiving dinner in comfort and style. Stovetop Thanksgiving Dinner Pants with their non-patented stuff and stretch waistband allow you to eat in comfort. Based on the same technology used in astronauts' underpants, they can expand to nearly two times their original size. Wow.
And now.
Hey, who's going to get the Thanksgiving Jump Trophy this year?
You are.
Dad's gonna get it!
Who else?
Our feature presentation.
What did you do?
So, where's Kevin?
Oh, come on. Again? Again with this?
I didn't even get a phone call yet, so...
Oh.
It's not like he even was trying to get in.
Now, that's unusual, so it's not a key card situation.
It is not a key card. Not, as far as I know, not a key card situation.
Okay. I don't sense a commitment here, is what I'm saying.
Well, he has worked a few full weeks in a row.
Yeah, that's true.
So he's due for a short one.
Yeah. Boy, it's a good thing he doesn't have to catch a train or something, you know? Because you just can't willy-nilly whenever show up for a train. Yeah. And it is also unusual that there hasn't been a phone call yet, because usually, you know, he's in his car. Oh, I'm running late, but at least he calls in.
What if he's asleep?
That would be funny.
That would be awesome.
We do have a policy on this program, as we have long described, that if a person is asleep, you do not call them, because it's the later they sleep, the more hilarious it is when they wake up.
And I feel like when you wake up and you're like, oh, I feel really good, then you look at your clock and you're like an hour late.
Right.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah. In our job, if you wake up and the sun is streaming through your window, it is not a good thing.
No bueno.
So... let's find out what happened. It's unfortunate on the same day that, Allie's on vacation this week,
mm-hmm.
and Dave is out sick today, so this is a true skeleton crew.
Should we go to the red line?
Oh, do we have somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's find out what's going on. Hello, caller.
Hello, party people. How you doing?
Mugs, what are you doing?
Well, I'm calling in on behalf of Kevin because I think I know where he might be.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
I'm on the 405 right now, and it is bumper to bumper at 5:37 in the morning. And I believe he takes that route to work, so he could be on this. I don't know if he's out of it yet, but I'm just giving you guys maybe an idea of where he might be.
Okay. I mean, that is helpful information, but it is a further surprise, though, that if he is up and in his car... it seems like he would call, just as you did, you know, because he would also have access to, what's it called, a clock.
Yeah, or maybe he left his clock, cell phone, and key card all in the same spot.
That's a distinct possibility.
That's also very true. So can you tell what it is that's slowing everybody down? Is it an accident or just lane closures for construction or what, Bucks?
I checked, according to my map on my Google Maps, it says there's a hazard, so I don't know... excuse me, if that means road work or accident, but it starts at the Getty, and it looks like it goes all the way to the 10 freeway.
How's the 5 looking? You checking your Google for that?
I can't see the 5 on my Google, but it won't help any of us, anybody on the 405, to get to the 5 right now.
What about the 710?
Oh, never mind, Chip, never mind. All right, well, listen, that actually is that is helpful information, but I thank you. So recapping now, so no Kevin,
mm-hmm.
no Allie,
yep.
no Dave,
yep.
no beer mug.
All right.
All right.
So all right, should I go home?
No, please stay. Keep us posted, Muggs. Thank you.
Will do.
There was a we do have a big Kevin and Bean show. I have no schedule, Chip, so if you could rustle one up while I tell this story so we know what's coming up on today's show,
I'd appreciate
it. There was a pop-up museum that we talked about earlier in the year that Kevin went to, and I think Dave did too, and it was an ice cream pop-up museum, and it proved enormously popular. In fact, so much so that it got extended. It ended up staying for far longer than they thought it would. Well, there's a new massive pop-up exhibit called The Happy Place. And it just opened yesterday in the Arts District of downtown Los Angeles. It sounds like hell on earth to me. It is larger-than-life installations and 13 multi-sensory immersive rooms set in over 20,000 square feet of good vibes and all things positive, it says. Now, if you're wondering what the hell does all that mean, here's the CBS News from last night.
Well, the start of any work week can be a bit rough, but a new pop-up in downtown L.A. may help us turn that frown upside down.
And CBS 2's Joe Kwan takes us inside Happy Place.
What's the ruling on turn that frown upside down? Is that still a useful expression? Are we still okay with that?
No, not so much. No, right. Please.
Hello, happy people. I hope you like confetti and sugar.
To The Happy Place, a place that encourages visitors, don't worry, be happy, and if you're happy and you know it, you know the drill. A place where...
This is punerific, by the way, this report so far. The don't worry, be happy if you're happy and you know it. So let's find out what's inside the Happy Place Museum.
You come just to find your happiness.
Happy Place's executive producer, Steph Tate, says you won't have a hard time finding it. It
doesn't matter what age you are. We've seen grandparents come through, children come through, people of all ages. Everyone is leaving with a huge smile.
Including 11-year-old Lilu Pyrosh, who says her happiness level on a scale of 10 is...
Definitely 10. Maybe even like a 13.
Okay, she is not great at math, by the way.
Not
if
so
she
much.
Thinks a 13 is on a scale of 1 to 10. So they're asking little kids if they're happy at the Happy Museum. This place, by the way, you can blow out candles on a giant birthday cake. You can jump off a massive rainbow into a pot filled with 25,000 coins decorated with smiley faces. It just sounds like a germaphobe's nightmare to me. Like, this entire museum, to me, looks like the... Are they called ball pits at the McDonald's Happy Place?
Yeah, why do you hate Happy?
It just seems grimy, and nothing about this seems fun. But, I mean, they call it the Happy Place, and the people who were there, to their credit, in the story, they seem to be having a great time.
Her nanny, Elena Gonzalez, is right there with her.
Definitely 10 out of 10.
Of course, there are plenty of places to capture and save all the happiness.
From a room of birthday cakes and balloons to a room full of blooms, it's the perfect spot to take a selfie.
There's also a place to soak in the happy.
By the way, this entire place looks like a Technicolor Instagram spot. And like the place where you soak in the happy, you'd climb into a giant gold bathtub and take your picture if that's a thing you want to do.
A place that will have you flipping out, celebrating with confetti, and finding the end of the rainbow.
By the way, the celebrating with confetti... You've seen those contests that places do sometimes where you go into a room and there's a big fan that's just blowing cash into the air and you have to catch as much as you can.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is with confetti. You just go in there and you just are surrounded by confetti. It's raining confetti, and somehow I guess that's fine.
By the way, the Happy Place is sharing its pot of gold through this lemonade stand.
We are donating the net proceeds to various charities.
The Happy Place sticks around through January 7th.
Would you rather be in school or here today?
Oh, no, here.
What a fantastic question for the little girl, by the way. Would you rather be in school or here today?
Yeah, I'm
so that's the
that.
Happy Place. It doesn't say how long it is scheduled to be in downtown Los Angeles, but if you're interested, it's at 1242 Palmetto Street, Los Angeles. 1242 Palmetto Street, and the website address is happyplace.me if you want to check it out. All right, let's take a look at today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I think it's stupid.
Well, you could be right. Miss Chip, what's on the program today?
Brad Williams.
Oh, comedian Brad Williams stops by. It's been a while since we've caught up with our man.
Internet Roundup.
We do have a brand new Internet Roundup. All the best viral videos of the week for you later this morning as well.
We revisit the Butterball Turkey Hotline.
Good idea, bad idea. The years that we used to call the Butterball Turkey Hotline, and the bit was that we pretended we couldn't catch the turkey, and we asked for their assistance with varying results.
Awful and loved it.
That's it?
We got Ducks tickets.
Ducks tickets to give away on the program today. I think Ralph Garman will be here, and we'll turn it over to him and take a look at the Showbiz Beat. Every morning, I'm happy to see Ralph Garman walk in the door, but never more so than today. How are you, sir?
I'm well.
Thanks for showing up.
Hey, look, part of the job, I thought. Maybe I was wrong. I didn't know. I might have this whole thing wrong. Who knows?
Does nobody want to work with me anymore? Should I be taking it personally?
No, everybody wants to work with you. So sometimes they can't get here, that's all. You work from home.
Okay.
You know, you just have to step outside your door. Sometimes here in the City of Angels, getting from one place to another becomes difficult.
Okay.
And so
I'm assuming Kevin's caught in traffic.
But he would call us, though, I would think. I feel like he would pick up the phone and call
us. What if he forgot how to use a phone?
Oh,
you ever think about that?
I forgot about the Kevin factor.
It's very possible. Or the phone is sitting on a dining room table at home somewhere, and he's in the car.
Next to his key card.
It could be next to his key card, yeah.
Let's face it.
All right, I'm going to give it about 5 more minutes before I start thinking the death thoughts. At this point, we all believe he's alive unless we hear from him by 6.
I'm frankly surprised you lasted this long. It's usually like
that's usually your default position, yeah.
Right. All right, I'm going to say I believe Kevin is still alive.
All right.
Until the end of the show, Miss Beat. But here's Ralph to take us through what's new on a Tuesday morning.
Stay tuned for the new segment, Bean's Death Thoughts, coming up in about 15 minutes. Well, of all the sexual impropriety accusations, of all the high-profile men who have resulted in being uncovered as pigs, this one was a shock. This one really set me back. That 8 women have come forward and accused Charlie Rose of improper sexual advances. For those of you who aren't familiar with Charlie Rose, he is a 71-year-old journalist. He's on CBS This Morning, but best known for his show on PBS, where he would sit down and have in-depth conversations with newsmakers across a table. Very serious, very introspective, very intellectual dude who seemed, by all accounts, to be just the nicest guy in show business.
Yeah, it's not like we're talking about Brett Ratner here. I mean,
right.
This is a guy, like you said, that you would have put him 1,000th on the list of potential problems.
But apparently 8 women who were employees of Charlie Rose on his show from the late 90s to as recently as 2011 say that Charlie Rose gave them lewd phone calls, walked around naked in their presence, and or groped their breasts, buttocks, and genital areas.
And that's no way to live.
He's 75, by the way. I said 71. He's 75. All these women were between the ages of 21 and 37. And from the stories they recount of him just stepping out of the shower in front of women and walking around nude and just really, really disgusting, inappropriate, and often terrifying behavior from this guy.
And he's been the morning anchor, the main anchor on CBS morning television.
This morning,
for the past few years. This morning it's called, yeah. I'm so glad we don't work for a terrible company like CBS.
Right?
Boo! They're the worst.
Boo, CBS.
Shame on you, CBS.
Yeah.
Glad we're getting none of their taint on us over here at the good place, Entercom.
That's right. So he has been suspended, barring further investigation. But I always say one person could be
a misunderstanding.
Or even someone trying to get back at someone for something. I mean, you never know. 2 people. All right, now you've got my attention. When 8 women step forward?
Yeah.
That's beyond the pale. That shows that there's something going on.
The Washington Post is really doing some good work these days.
Yeah. They've become a clearinghouse for sexual predators.
And by the way, you know, like you said, you think Charlie Rose, you think PBS. This was like when one of those big wigs at NPR was accused of similar things recently. We were like, you expect it.
New York Times.
Yeah, New York Times, same thing. They lost a journalist this week. I mean, it's prevalent in every industry.
And it makes you realize how many men are just dicks.
Right.
I mean, I've always enjoyed the ladies, and I like to flirt, and I've never once crossed my mind to go out of my way to make a woman feel bad or to attempt to try to coerce her or physically grope her or touch her. And I like women as much as anybody, but how can these guys not understand the line between flirting or even trying to have sex with someone? I understand that guys are going to be guys and they want to have sex. That's understandable. But to cross that line where you start groping people or pressuring them or attacking them, I cannot comprehend it. And yet it is so much more prevalent than I ever could have imagined.
Yeah.
I was assuming there were a couple bad apples, but I never knew that this many men were being this piggish on a regular basis to all these women. It never dawned on me that it was this widespread. And I feel embarrassed that I didn't know. I should have known more, but I don't know. I agree with
every word that you're saying, and I hope that it's a learning experience for lots of people, especially young men out there who, you know, take note of this. And
we got to do a better job raising our sons and young men and making them behave differently, because they keep saying, well, how can we stop this from happening? It's like, well, there's only one way, is to get men to stop doing this. And of course, that comes with teaching and with parenting, and we got to do a better job. All right, let's move on to something empowering for women. How about money? Women and money. Forbes magazine, which, as you know, my new theory is they only exist to publish lists, has released their latest list of the highest paid women in music. Highest paid women in music.
All right. No! Kelly Clarkson!
Kelly Clarkson did not make the top five. I've got the top five here in front of me.
Well, I mean, some obvious answers come to mind, and
Lady Gaga!
I mean, she would certainly be on that list. Wow, not
on
the
this
top
list.
Five? Nope. All right. How about Queen Bey?
She's number one. She is the queen. The only woman on the list to make nine figures, by the way. $105 million in 2017. In 2017!
How
she
much?
Made $105 million in the calendar year of 2017.
That's a living.
Becky with the good hair?
Becky with the good hair, not on the list.
Oh.
Ghost Alley.
How about
El Gordo y la Flaca?
Nope. She did not make it.
Adele Dazeem.
Well, not Dazeem, but Adele.
Adele is on the list.
Second
okay.
on the list with $69 million. $69 million.
Obviously, I have to throw Taylor Swift's hat in the ring. I mean, she made a little money with a tour and an album, right?
Yeah, she's third, unfortunately, with $44 million.
Only $44
million. Yeah.
Hi, it's Kat.
No, Kat did not make the list.
How's it hanging? I'm David Pumpkins.
I don't think David S. Pumpkins is a woman or a singer.
Peggy Noonan.
Peggy Noonan, just outside the top five. Ghost Kevin. Celine Dion is fourth, believe it or not. Celine Dion is fourth on the list. You would not think that she, in 2017, would be in the top five moneymakers for women in music.
That Vegas residency, which has been going strong for a long time, must really be working out for her.
$42 million. And number five, this may surprise you, but Jennifer Lopez. Jennifer Lopez rounds out the top five. She made $38 million. Dollars in 2017.
And she is a lady in music, but I would imagine most of that did not come from her.
I would assume it's largely acting and endorsements and things like that. But I'm just surprised. I mean, only five slots on that list.
Yeah.
And you would think there'd be some women even above and beyond Jennifer Lopez that would make it onto that list. You would think there couldn't possibly be the space for Jennifer Lopez to make her way into the top five.
It is a surprise.
There'd be other females who probably are maybe more top of mind when it comes to music, and certainly when it comes to successful touring and record sales. And I was wondering to myself, how is it possible that Jennifer Lopez was able to squeeze her way into the top five on that list? I couldn't either. But, you know, the more I thought about it, then it suddenly struck me. It dawned on me.
Yeah?
There's always room for J-Lo!
Yeah, I don't know why that thing didn't hit. It just...
Yay!
That ghost in the machine today, man. We're all falling apart.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
Yeah, that guy's right, too.
Today's celebrity birthdays, the Bella girls. The Bella sisters, Nikki Bella and Brie Bella, 34 years old today. Carly Rae Jepsen is 32. Oh, my God. Stop making that noise.
You know I love her.
Bjork is 52. Actress Jenna Maloney is 33 years old today. Michael Strahan, speaking of morning television, he's 46 years old. Goldie Hawn is 72. Troy Aikman. When I think of all the time I spent hating Troy Aikman, and I have to admit he's one of my favorite football broadcasters.
He does
a really good job in the booth.
In his first season, too, he sounds like a professional who's been doing it his whole life.
Troy Aikman has been doing it for a long time.
You think about Tony Romo?
Thinking about Tony Romo.
Oh, Tony Romo. Completely different Cowboys quarterback. Sorry about that.
Right, Chip? You're right? With me, aren't you?
Yeah. My apologies.
Troy Aikman's 51 years old today. Ken Block, the race car driver, is 50. Ken Griffey Jr. from some sport called Bassey Ball. He is 48 years
baseball
old.
Baseball Hall of Famer for the Seattle Mariners.
And Nicolette Sheridan, the actress, is 54. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, party people. It's just about the most wonderful time of the year. Your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017 coming up December 9th and 10th at the Forum. We're going to be giving more away on the radio. And you can also go to krock.com and win your tickets as well if you want to be there for Morrissey and the Killers, and Weezer, Muse, 30 Seconds to Mars, Queens of the Stone Age, Rise Against, and so much more. It's going to be a great weekend. And really, it's going to be here before you know it. Hey, Assistant Producer Christine.
Hi, Bean.
I was very surprised and concerned when I saw a message from you the other day that you might have to move out of your apartment where you have lived for many years.
Yeah, I love my apartment.
You've been there for a long time. You love the neighborhood. Yep. I've heard you do nothing but rave about it. But something happened that made you realize, well, that's it. It's time to just run out the door and not even pack any of my stuff. What's going on?
Well, there's a spider the size of Aragog. I don't know if you know from Harry Potter. And we had a face-off in my bathroom. I reached for a cup to, you know, trap him to take him outside.
Mm-hmm.
Looked away to grab the cup. Looked back. No spider. Where's the music?
Oh, did you want some? You want
yes!
Some, well, I don't think it's a dangerous.
Yes!
I don't think it's a dangerous thing to be concerned about. All right, so the spider got away.
It was the size.
So
of
So he's
like
smarter
a little
than
dog.
You are. We've learned that he's the size of a dog.
Yes.
Okay. And so he went where and did what?
That's the question. I don't know. And possibly, I don't know. Maybe he's living in my brain right now. So I don't know. That's the only solution. What else do you do? You have to move at this point, right?
It's just a spider, Christine. Is there any reason that you have? Look, I don't pretend to be any kind of an expert on spiders, but I do know the reality is there are a few, not many of the thousands and thousands of breeds of spiders, but there are a few that are dangerous. You don't want to screw with a black widow spider.
Oh, this one was definitely dangerous.
Okay, how do you know that? Tell me about this spider.
It had like crazy markings and it was scary looking.
Yeah, switchblade.
Yeah, totally.
A leather coat.
Absolutely, pompadour.
I mean, there are, I want to say thousands, but it may be hundreds of thousands of different kinds of spiders, and the percentage of them that are dangerous to you, and by the way, even of the ones that are dangerous to you, the percentage of ones that then have any interest whatsoever in biting you or getting anywhere near you, they don't want to be anywhere near you any more than you want to be near them.
Well, the percentages of them that are scary is another number, so
but
I'm just saying,
what,
it's a very high number.
What is that about? Why are you scared
I don't
of a
know,
tiny
Bean.
Little insect?
It's completely irrational and so stupid. I'm so embarrassed right now.
Oh, really? So you know it's irrational.
This. It's ridiculous. I know it is, but it's just like I can't breathe. I was frozen. When I say we had a face-off, I am not joking. It was probably, I'm guessing, 30 seconds of me completely frozen, of us just staring at each other. Like, I couldn't move. I was so scared.
I saw a woman, maybe you saw this video, it was going around just this week. By coincidence, this happened to you. But there's a woman who pulls up into a parking space. She's in her car, and she looks up, and she sees that there's a spider on the visor on the passenger side of her car. And she is paralyzed. She does not want to move to get out of the car to get away from this spider because she's convinced somehow that this spider has some sort of tiger-like lightning reflexes.
That woman is me. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It is going to leap across the car. It is going to wrestle her to the ground and beat her and rob her.
That's exactly what that spider was going to do to me. He was going to home invasion me is what was happening.
Now, let me ask you this because I always wonder because I feel like there are some things that people are afraid of that they wouldn't be afraid of if it weren't learned behavior. Did you grow up in a household with parents who shared with you, taught you,
no.
Oh my God, spiders run.
Not at all. When I was a kid, I loved bugs. I used to study them. I thought they were so cool. This is an adult thing. I think it was after I had a really, really nasty spider bite and probably like my late teens.
Oh.
And then after that, it's like I think I just developed this like irrational fear of them.
I don't know. If you had a nasty spider bite, I'm going to say that you almost get a pass that it's not an irrational fear.
This
what
thing
happened?
La-
what kind of spider was it?
I don't know. I woke up and my leg was like the size of like, I don't know, California. And
wow.
It was like, it lasted for like 3 months. It was so crazy.
And what did they – it wasn't like a brown recluse or something,
I have
it?
No
did
idea.
Did they know?
No, the only reason we knew is there were two tiny dots, and so people were saying it was a spider. I didn't go to the doctor or anything. Everyone just told me it was a spider bite, so.
Did it feel like it was poison, though?
Yeah, I mean, it was, like, burning hot. So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I that might be it. I don't know. I know it's irrational. It's so stupid. It's a thing, like, the size of your thumbnail, but, like, except for the one I saw that was in my bathroom. That was the size of Aragog, so. But other spiders are, like, the size of a fingernail. I know it's irrational, but it's just, I get paralyzed. I don't know why.
I do feel like a grown adult can take a spider. I feel like spider plus person equals person.
Well,
I
other mean, people kill them. I don't want to kill them.
So no, you shouldn't.
Right. If you're going to smash one with your shoe, yeah, you win. But if I see spiders, I take them outside and it takes me like an hour to like rustle up the courage to do it. So they're sitting there under a cup, like all like trapped. And I'm sitting there staring at them and I have to like, I don't know, really talk myself up to be able to like walk them outside. It's so scary.
I took a look in my audio computer here to see what I had on spiders, and I do not remember when this story was, but let's hear a little bit of the story that came from, I assume, at least a couple years ago out of Memphis and see if this gives you the heebie-jeebies.
Even the author of Charlotte's Web could not have spun this story. Maybe it's best described as a sci-fi thriller. Either way, there's an eight-legged problem causing headaches for some homeowners in North Memphis. This isn't frost or morning dew covering the grass in this neighborhood near Chelsea and May.
I've never seen anything. It's like a horror movie.
I've been here 34 years and I never saw this.
Never seen nothing like this before.
Uh-huh. Turns out this ground cover is a finely spun home for spiders.
It's just a spider web. I mean, almost a mile long.
A spider web almost a mile long in front of this apartment complex in Memphis.
She gets me, yeah.
That's what it seems like in your house, right?
Right, exactly.
Christine's full of spiders.
Not quite a mile long spider web, but nearly a half mile, filled with thousands, possibly millions of spiders. And the arachnids aren't homebodies staying in the web. They like to travel.
They just in the air. They flying everywhere. They all on the house, on the side of the windows. When I got up this morning, it was like spiders all on my door. They were coming in my house.
You getting the heebie-jeebies yet,
This is my
Christine?
Nightmare. It's literally my nightmare. That's awful.
A million spiders
neighborhood. No.
Christine, were yours in the air?
Kevin, did you have a spider this morning? Is that what happened?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey,
I didn't see you come in. We were having spider talk.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
The spider built a web around him, and he could not escape. You see, guys?
We were discussing whether Christine has to move as a result of a spider that is loose in her house.
That's a joke, though.
Well, she's thinking about it.
But it was actually suggested from a listener on Instagram, so I'm just saying it was a good suggestion. Mm. I was taken at the heart, though, so yeah.
You may have to just cover your bases, Christine, and thank you for coming in. You may have to just burn the building down on your way out.
Fire must cleanse us.
Wait, does anyone else live in your building?
A few people.
Okay, give them a heads up before you burn it down, maybe.
So I talk right here?
Yeah,
you go on.
Where's the headphones part?
On your ears?
On my ears. Okay, all right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:23.
We're going to return to the golden age of the Kevin and Bean Show and revisit the calls to the Butterball Turkey Hotline coming up in about 10 minutes.
I mean, we don't have to do that.
Back when the show was good, when we used to be able to do things and have fun.
Nope.
That's coming up. First, though, country music back in the news, you guys. There's a name that most of our listeners have not heard about. He was pretty popular in the country world back in the 1990s. Not so much anymore, but he does have a following. His name is Neil McCoy. And he is a super patriot. I have to give him all the credit in the world, man. He puts his money where his mouth is. He has been on 15 U.S. tours. He's been to Pakistan and Afghanistan and Iraq. He is a super patriot. And one of the things he does, Kevin, that has gotten him notice is he says and records and posts on YouTube every single day the Pledge of Allegiance.
Why?
Just his commitment to his patriotism for the country, whatever situation he's in. Oftentimes it's with other people. Oftentimes it's at concerts. Sometimes it's with veterans. For 681 consecutive days, he has recorded the Pledge of Allegiance and put it up online. So the man, he loves America. He is not so much down with the NFL protests about police brutality and Black Lives Matter. He's like, look, I know there are problems in this country. He's one of, and he speaks for millions of people who say, that's not the place to do that protest. And it has been very confusing for a lot of people because people think they're disrespecting the military, disrespecting the flag. They say, no, that's not what's happening. But you can't talk some people out of that belief.
But this country singer is fine with it.
This country singer is not so much fine with it as he has recorded a song about the topic that just debuted this week called Take a Knee, My Ass, which grammatically has a lot of problems.
And then in parentheses, I won't take a knee in case it's unclear.
I don't even know how your ass could take a knee. I don't even understand physically how it is possible. But let's hear a little bit of this song that everyone's talking about from Neil McCoy.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
This has a little bit of that Lee Greenwood, God Bless the USA vibe to it, I think, don't you think?
I'll stand and place my hand upon my heart every time her anthem plays. And when I see somebody on TV take their stand on bended knee, whether it's on AstroTurf or grass, I think of those whose freedom was not free.
Here we go.
And I say, take a knee, my ass.
Right? Take a knee, my ass, everybody. And it goes on and on like that. And by the way, the video that I've seen of him performing this at his concerts, the audience just goes berserk over that line, take a knee, my ass. They love it.
That gets them out of their seats.
Gets them fired up, yeah. This is the most Neil McCoy has been talked about in some time, but we wanted to find out more about this very controversial issue, so we asked Dave if there's any way we could get a hold of Mr. McCoy, and I believe Neil joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Neil McCoy, how are you?
Howdy-do. You got the real deal Neil McCoy right here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. I understand you.
Thanks so much for having me.
You recorded this song and had no idea. You are stunned how it has gone viral and has millions of views already.
Well, you know, I am a little set back. I've been lying if I said I weren't. But I got to say, I'm not surprised because I think I speak for most Americans, which is, most people just want to tell those football players, shut up.
Well, again, the argument on the other side, and I'm sure you hear it, Neil, is that they certainly have the right to free speech. I mean, that's part of what makes this country great, is that you don't get thrown in jail or ostracized for speaking your mind about something you're passionate about.
But freedom isn't free, okay? And they can take a knee, my ass, is what I'm saying to them. And this is America, and I wave the flag, and I pledge allegiance to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a knee, then my ass is what I say to those people taking knees.
But some of the people who have taken knees in these protests are veterans themselves and are also patriotic. They have family members who serve. They love America, too. They're just expressing it in a different way than you do.
Well, they should express it silently while standing straight and being quiet.
How do they do that?
Just think it. Just think your protest, okay. And someone, I'm sure, somewhere will hear it.
I see.
Okay. So a protest.
Don't make me uncomfortable is what I'm saying.
I see.
So a protest that nobody hears is the best kind of protest. I've often said that.
Absolutely, yes. That's the kind we like here. Just be quiet and just be patriotic and stop it.
Okay. So
and I'm finally, I got my hits. I had a bunch of hits. You may remember Billy's Got His Beer Goggles On. You may remember that smash hit.
Don't remember that.
I'm sorry,
I've done a lot of good time drinking songs and things like that. But now I'm with the success of Take a Knee My Ass. Mm-hmm. I'm strictly writing from now on songs about the great country of America and how people should behave in the land of the free, home of the brave.
Right.
Okay, all my songs now are going to be about important political issues.
So you're branching out beyond the NFL knee protests, and you're talking about other issues. Okay.
Right. I'm talking about taking down those Confederate statues. They want to take down the Confederate statues. Remember Charlottesville, right? When those people were marching saying, leave those statues alone.
That was part of what they were marching for, but yeah, I remember the controversy.
A lot of good people on both sides, I'm just saying.
Well, that's not, I don't disagree with that, but okay.
I got a song about Charlottesville, and I think it's going to be a big hit.
Can we hear it?
Tiki torches and I ain't Hawaiian. If you ain't white and straight, better get to dying. Take my Confederate statue, take my ass. That's one of them. I think that's going to be a big hit.
Well, I don't think we want people dying because they disagree with you. But
here's my protest. Here's my song for the Roy Moore campaign down there in Alabama. I hope y'all vote for Roy. Here you go. You can date little girls in Alabama, just as long as first you ask her mama. Vote for Roy Moore, vote for my ass.
How do we vote for your ass?
Well, I haven't figured that out yet, okay. But I'm just trying to stick with what works.
Everything seems to involve your butt here, though, Neil.
Let's not forget, it's Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays, okay? So here's my new Christmas song. Hope everybody enjoys it. Say Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. Only folks who say that are Muslims and gays. What? Merry okay. Christmas.
No.
Merry Christmas.
Okay.
I'm not sure how it works.
Come on out to a show.
Trying to figure out who hurt Kevin back in the day that he hates holidays.
Oh, I love holidays.
I bet it was a turkey. Or a farmer.
I love holidays.
You got no time for Halloween spooks.
Not because that's crappy.
Good point.
You got no time for Christmas music.
It's true.
No, I do.
All the joy things,
all the fun things.
Regular joy you like, holiday joy you don't like. Bean loves holiday joy, hates regular joy.
Exactly.
You should have heard him this morning, Kevin, complaining that kids were enjoying something called the Happy Place.
I hate the Happy Place.
And I didn't understand why you hate the Happy Place unless somebody's forcing you to go.
Because he hates joy. But holidays can't get enough of them.
Germs.
it sounds awful in a pit of coins.
It does. It sounds like a nightmare, that place. But the reason I bring all this up is to say there used to be a time for many, many years. I looked it up at the Kevin Bean Archive this morning. From 2006 through 2012, which I think is 7 years, we made an annual phone call this week every year where we called the Butterball Turkey Hotline. And the bit was that Ralph would play a turkey. He would make turkey sound effects. And I would play the part of the farmer trying to catch the turkey. The bit was the surprise was supposed to be for the person answering the phone who was expecting a question about how to prepare a turkey. I was instead a farmer trying to catch a turkey. And you can see, here's a clip from one of the times we tried to make the call. You can hear how Kevin is just poo-pooing all over the very concept of the fun of calling the Butterball Turkey Hotline.
When did the joy leave your life, Kevin? When did you stop experiencing the world and being happy? When did you turn into a bitter, angry old man?
When you guys started doing this stupid-ass, BS, childish, dumb prank that never works and is never funny? Then?
So I'm going to suggest, Kevin, that maybe it's time to revisit the calls to the Butterball Turkey Hotline.
They never worked. It was never funny. It was never entertaining.
And I have to give some credit to the B-Team podcast, that podcast that Omar and Dave and Lightning do that's very entertaining that you can get wherever you get the Kevin DeBean podcast. And it's all about the history of and the behind the scenes of the Kevin DeBean show. And they recently did a feature on the Butterball Turkey Hotline. So here's one example. I don't know which year this is, but I must confess, I am not a good actor.
Maybe that was part of it.
I am willing to admit that when the roles should have been reversed, Ralph, I should have been doing the turkey, and maybe you should have been the person on the phone with Butterball.
Right, because your voice talents are much better than your acting. You're right. I didn't think about that.
I think that may have been part of it, is that your acting, the whole bit was based on your acting.
And it was terrible.
Yeah.
So here's a little bit of one of the calls to Butterball.
Butterball Turkey Talk Line. How can
I
help you?
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you answered. I have trouble with my turkey. Is this the right number to call?
Yeah. Who's calling?
My name is John, and I can't catch my turkey. I'm trying to prepare for Thanksgiving dinner, but I can't get a hold of the turkey, and I don't know how to catch the thing. It's way faster than I thought it would be. By the way, Kevin, tell me you're not smiling just a little bit hearing this. Does it take you back to the fun times? Kevin?
I'm sorry, are we still talking?
You're enjoying it so far?
He's smiling at your acting. I don't know if he's smiling at the bit.
Okay.
Well, you know, most people that roast turkeys are really lucky. The turkeys that are in the turkey bins at the grocery store, they're pretty slow.
I wish I would have thought of that, but I thought it would be fresher if I would catch my own turkey and cook it right here. But unfortunately, I can't get a hold of it. What's the best way to grab a turkey? By the way, I don't get any credit. I sound like I'm flustered. I'm out of breath.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm not pulling any of this off.
I mean, the problem is that it's sort of a one-joke thing, which is my turkey is live and I can't catch it.
Is your refrigerator running? You better go grab it. And then you hang up on that prank call.
But short brevity is really what's needed there.
Right.
You just need to get to the punchline and get out. And at that punchline, that's when we really got going.
And I do feel like that, at least for whatever year that was, she didn't buy it for a half a second.
Of course
right?
not.
Like
it's
she
dumb.
She was on. And the problem was the reason we ended up having to stop do it is because we weren't allowed to put them on the air without telling them. And then they also had a policy on their end where they only allowed media representatives to they you couldn't actually get somebody on the phone just by dialing the helpline and have
Thank
them
God,
talk
right?
to you on the air.
Yeah.
All right.
That policy, I think, was started by us calling them. I think that's why that they started doing that.
All right. So I may have been fired from the role, but we had a sports guy on the show for some period during those years that we called the Butterball Turkey Hotline, Matt Money Smith. So one year we decided that Matt was going to play the farmer. Ralph, I think you continue to do your excellent work as the turkey, and let's hear how it went for money.
Butterball Turkey Talkline, Mary speaking.
Oh, Mary, sweet Jesus. Thank you there. I just moved to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I have a turkey farm. My wife, she insisted this be the year that we do a fresh turkey as opposed to one of the frozen ones. So as you can hear, I'm in the middle of the field. I'm totally out of my own element. I'm from the South Bay in Southern California.
Okay. By the way, you know how we always talk on this show about how maybe we don't need all the backstory?
Oh, no. I think this is helping.
He's a method actor.
This is helping because he's adding detail that you never gave me.
He has fleshed out the character completely.
Right.
Does it need to be fleshed out for the person who's telling you how long to defrost your turkey, though?
Yeah, adds to the realism, I think.
Let's hear it. Okay.
And I got these turkeys all over the place. How do I catch this thing? I didn't think they could fly.
I don't even think you want to do that. I think you want to go back where you came from and go to the grocery store and go get yourself a butterball turkey, and you're going to be so much better off. You'll just be amazed.
Now, Mary, understand, I've got a stock pot full of 2 gallons of water with salt dissolved, and I am ready to brine this bird.
See? Detail, B. Details. A lot of detail.
I just have to catch the damn thing.
I love that Matt cannot keep a straight face on this. By the way, Ralph, how are you doing the wings? The wings are what's so impressive about your turkey.
I would flap my leather jacket open and closed into the microphone.
All right. Yeah. So I think money is losing it. I think Ralph is going to be losing it soon, and this may have been one of our final calls. I don't remember.
Mary! Help, Mary! Mary!
Yeah?
Mary, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
You have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much.
Oh, right?
You.
Right?
Come on.
Butterball Turkey Hotline.
Oh, man.
The hell's Thanksgiving without the Butterball Turkey Hotline on the Kevin and Bean Show, you communists?
There it was, the annual tradition that was the Butterball Turkey Hotline. So in retrospect, guys, are we happy that it's gone?
Absolute and Lee.
Nah, I miss it. I miss money.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
Well, that sounds like it's time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. Here's Ralph Garman.
Sacha Baron Cohen's the best. Remember I told you the story about the 6 Czech tourists who went to Kazakhstan, home of Borat, and decided it would be hilarious to take off their clothing, put on some curly black wigs, and wear nothing but the Borat-inspired green mankini. It's that bathing suit that just grabs sort of your pouch and then goes up over your shoulders.
It's pretty spectacular.
That Borat wore, of course, famously in that film. They were each arrested for minor hooliganism, detained and put into jail, and then released for a fine of $68 for each of them. Well, Sacha Baron Cohen has stepped forward and released the following statement. To my Czech mates who were arrested, send me your details and proof that it was you, and I'll pay your fine. He wrote on Facebook, so he's going to pay the fine for the men who got detained for minor hooliganism.
I like play table tennis.
Mm-hmm.
I like shoot dog.
This all happened in the capital city of Astana, and apparently the local Kazakh social media users not thrilled with the results of this event. Not the fact that they were doing it, nor the fact that Sacha Baron Cohen has stepped in to pay off the fines for these guys. They don't think it's funny at all.
Right.
Here's some examples. The Czechs should have been jailed for a year, said Facebook user Bulat Sadapadlovic.
Jailed for a year.
Then others would have drawn lessons, he said on Facebook. Bek Zanturin said, where are the men of Astana? This Sacha Baron Cohen should be detained. His hands and legs should be tied up. Then he should be dragged on the streets.
And these, refresh my memory, these tourists went in and murdered a bunch of people?
No, they put on bathing suits.
Oh, that's right.
In the cold. Bathing suits, and right. they were in mankinis, yeah. But apparently not a lot of
sounds reasonable to me.
A lot of patience there in Kazakhstan for the wackiness. It's like Beanistan.
Right? How do you plan to repay the loan?
I will let you use my sister for 6 months.
I need to watch that movie again.
So good.
Yeah.
I like.
You start doing that a lot after you watch it. Tonight's the big night. The coveted Mirror Ball Trophy will be awarded.
Oh, I'm so excited.
On Dancing with the Stars. Who do you like, Kevin? Who's your favorite? Who do you think's really going to walk away with it all?
Billy Cunningham?
Billy Cunningham, you think?
Yep. Pretty sure.
Former legendary player and coach for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, is that somebody?
Well, here's your final. Here's okay. Your final four. So,
you know, Bobo.
Place your bets accordingly.
Okay.
Jordan Fisher. Of course, he's dancing with Lindsay Arnold. I defy you to tell me which one's the celebrity, which one's the dancer in that couple, by the way.
Is Jordan Fisher a singer who is a former voice contestant, perhaps? Does that sound possible or no?
I think you're thinking of Jordan Sparks, aren't you? She was on American Idol.
She was American Idol.
I don't know whether Jordan Fisher is a man, a woman. I got nothing for you on Jordan Fisher.
I don't know who any of those people are.
I don't know either.
Lindsay Sterling?
She is a musician. I think she's a violinist.
Well done, Bean. Absolutely.
Yeah, but we don't. Oh, you know for sure?
Yeah, she's a violinist. It says
right
here.
Just guessing.
No, it says violinist Lindsay Sterling. Frankie Muniz?
Plays the oboe.
Race car driver?
Does not play the oboe. He was Malcolm. He was in the middle.
Malcolm in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Drew Scott.
Got
me on Drew Scott.
He was one of
the post office.
No, he was one of the twins. He's one of the Scott twins who do Flip or Fark or whatever that show is called on HGTV.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
I don't believe he invented Booyah. It was a different Scott. It was Willard Scott. Anyway, Drew Scott apparently and his partner Emma Slater went home last night. They're out the first, so we're down to three. So we'll see tonight who wins the big dealy.
I don't know that he's my voice guy, but apparently this Jordan Fisher is a singer. He appeared in Grease Live. He was also in Hamilton on Broadway, and he's done a bunch of Disney stuff. So it looks like he may be a different guy from the voice guy. But that's your big four superstars, huh?
Doesn't he always call people Bubba?
I think he does. Yes, he's very into Bubba. Alessandro Ambrosio,
right?
Walked the catwalk for the last time. Last night at the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show.
Why are we not wearing all black armbands or something?
Or black bra and panties, right?
How do you know we're not?
That's true. Brazilian supermodel hung up her stilettos after 17 years as one of Victoria's Secret's angels, making her final appearance on the annual runway extravaganza that they shot in Shanghai, China yesterday. You can watch Alessandra make her final strut down the runway when she airs in that show on Tuesday, next Tuesday on CBS. You can check it out then. Sad, though, when a supermodel has to pack it in.
Right?
Yeah. I think it was her knees. Her knees finally went.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, you know, you get a lot of miles. A lot of miles on the runway. Can't hold up forever.
I heard she stole some sunglasses.
No, that's a different event.
All right.
Charlie Rose has been suspended from his work on CBS This Morning after not one, not two, but eight women have come forward and accused him of improper sexual advances. Charlie Rose, Kevin, your favorite interviewer.
I don't know Charlie Rose.
Yes, you do. The guy from PBS. Like, so you went out there and you talked to those people. He would sit with people at a table in a very serious way and have very deep conversations.
It's like one interview is 6 hours.
No, not six
right?
hours.
He does an hourly show, but he's also a CBS morning television host, and he's a 60 Minutes correspondent sometimes, too. You would recognize his face.
Okay, all right.
But he's the last person in the world you would think would be pressing himself up against women and walking around nude in their presence.
Yeah,
guilty.
That is a shocker.
He'd have workers there, and he would get out of the shower and then walk nude around these women while they were trying to do their job. Groping them, their breasts, their buttocks, their genitals, lewd phone calls.
Wow.
At all hours. Just a real pig, according to these women's accounts.
There's a dullness about you. There's a dullness about you.
Yeah. So,
wow.
It's like he's in trouble. And now Oliver Stone is being accused by Melissa Gilbert. You remember her from Little House on the Prairie. She said she went in to read for the movie The Doors in 1991. And Melissa said, Oliver Stone said, "I want you to do a scene for me that I just wrote." The scene involved her getting on her hands and knees in front of her and saying repeatedly, "Do me, baby," during the meeting.
Wow.
We were saying earlier, Kevin, when the rest of us had gotten here to do the show.
Yeah. I was resting. I felt great.
I had no idea that... I knew there was a problem. I knew men did this. I knew that they were inappropriate and they forced themselves on women and said inappropriate things and did inappropriate things. And I was repelled I find that kind of behavior repugnant. But I had no idea how many men do this.
Yeah, same. Once it was two or three, I thought we were pretty much done.
I always thought it was the exception. And now I'm starting to think it's the rule.
Are we just naive?
Yes, we were naive. And also, I think we were kept in the dark because of other men covering up for these guys and women being afraid to come forward and say anything. I think
we
lived in an awful culture that fostered and facilitated this kind of behavior to the point that it was happening everywhere all the time, and I just didn't know about it. And I feel like an idiot and a fool.
And I'm angry
about it.
Yeah.
Wow. I saw that that quote from, I think it was Natalie Portman yesterday, who said that she has never worked on a movie where she was not sexually harassed. In her whole career.
It's just it's all beyond
just business
me.
As usual.
It's all beyond me. Today's celebrity birthdays, the Bella Twins, Nikki and Brie, celebrate their 34th birthday. Huge Philadelphia Eagles fans, by the way.
They can't be perfect.
They are perfect. That's what I'm saying. Perfect. Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, right? She's such a great artist.
She certainly is. Very talented.
32 years old today.
Very talented.
Bjork is 52. Ugh,
oh,
right?
Dear Lord.
How does she keep having more birthdays?
She's the worst.
How does that happen? How do we stop that from happening? Jenna Malone is 33 years old today. Michael Strahan's 46 years old. Goldie Hawn is 72. Troy Aikman is 51 years old today. Ken Block turns 50. Ken Griffey Jr. celebrates his 48th birthday. And Nicolette Sheridan, the actress, of course, most famously probably from Desperate Housewives, 54 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let me tell you why I'm so glad our friend Brad Williams, comedian Brad Williams, is in studio with us, because now we're going to gang up on Kevin and talk about the Ducks for a minute.
We have tickets.
I don't know that we need to do that.
I mean, it was
Orange
awesome.
County representing. Come on.
OC, baby.
We have Anaheim Ducks versus Winnipeg Jets tickets to the Honda Center. They're playing this Friday. This is the deal where we give you a pair of tickets, two hot dogs, and two beers. The way we're going to do it is you're going to be listening for a piece of tape from the end of last night's game. Chip, how late were you up watching the Ducks finally win that game last night?
I think the game ended at 10:30. They won in the ninth round of a shootout versus the Sharks. Beat them 3-2.
The ninth round of a shootout, you guys. Can you imagine having the strength as a human to go out there for that ninth round of a shootout?
Well, no, that's that's why I'm in comedy.
We're not hockey players.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll play the call at the end of the game. When we hear it, we have two pairs of tickets to give away for Ducks Jets for Friday night. All you have to do is be caller 20 or 21 and win those tickets. All right, let's turn our attention to the little man. He is here. Brad Williams, what's going on, my friend?
Well, this is the first time I've been in studio since I got married.
Brad got married.
That's weird, right? That's very strange.
It's still hard to get my head around.
It's really hard to text my wife and tell people, like, oh, I got to check in with the wife. And you're like, wait, what? That happened?
Is that code?
Yeah, no. Someone actually agreed to do that. That's weird.
Brad, I heard rave reviews about your wedding as one of the most fun that people had been to.
It was a lot of fun. I did the right move, and I married an Asian woman, mm-hmm. and they're very thorough with their planning.
Sweet.
That's why you have one running your show.
Although I heard you were a groomzilla.
I was a groomzilla, yes, but I wanted certain details.
So if you've got a person who's going to keep it all straight, why are you a groomzilla?
But then, okay, everyone said it was an amazing wedding. And, well, here's the thing. How could you have a people showed up for the dwarf wedding just because they thought, like, this is a magical event.
Right.
Like, a dwarf wedding, this has got to be, like, you get granted a wish or something like that. Like, you see a dwarf get married, there's got to be rainbows coming out everywhere. It was nuts. But we had a great band. We had food trucks. We had Chip got hammered. That was fun.
I was out of town, and I remember thinking, watching the Instagram posts and stuff like that, I remember thinking, this is the very first time that I really
am bummed that I missed a wedding.
We had
I'm really bummed.
We had Chinese lion dancers.
I know, I saw that. That's awesome.
Yeah, but the thing was is all the white people thought they were dragons, and then I come out and they're doing like, oh, they're doing a Game of Thrones thing. They thought we were doing a reenactment or something like that. So yeah, and then of course her Chinese family was just like, yeah, this is dragons, this is lions. This is what we do at everything. Like, we do this at the opening of a bakery.
Take it easy, everybody.
Yeah. No big deal. But it was amazing. And then we honeymooned in Germany for Oktoberfest. And
that's the way to go.
Two beer Brad turned into one Stein Brad. Oh, my God. And if you – like, Germans are not generally happy people. It's just kind of like they're very efficient, very mm-hmm. business. But when they see a dwarf in Lederhosen,
sure,
the smiles on the German faces.
You're the king.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It was.
Did they carry you around?
One time.
Yes.
Yeah. One time. Cause, but they kind of needed to because I was hammered. Get the dwarf out of the house. He's bad luck.
Is Oktoberfest in Germany like Mardi Gras is in New Orleans, where it's as far as the eye can see, just anything goes.
Yeah, anything goes, including carnival rides. That if you think redneck carnies are sketchy,
yeah, right.
German carnies,
really?
Oh,
worse
because like redneck carnies, you can spot them. They got the mullet. They smell like cabbage.
Right.
Okay.
Sure.
Like, you can spot them.
Right.
But then the German carnies, they just smell like pretzels and fun. And then, whoa, they like turn the tilt-a-whirl up to 11.
Oh, no.
And it's
– How safe are those?
Not
that always strikes me as really dangerous.
There was one ride in particular that no one wants to ride. You just go to watch. It's this inclined treadmill that takes you to the top of a hill, and then you slide down on a slide. But everyone just wanted to watch the treadmill because it's on an incline and it's going fast. And you have drunk people stepping on the treadmill with no safety guards,
oh,
no bodyguards
sweet.
To help them. So literally it's a spectator sport and everyone just falls down and the treadmill takes them up on their back.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's just one constant YouTube video.
That sounds great. You must have been bummed to come back. That sounds like a great time.
It was. Now I got to go back to real life and back to trying to pay for the wedding. And so that's why I'm plugging my shows at the Irvine Improv this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's Thanksgiving weekend. You want to get out of the house because your relatives are there. You're tired of them. You need a distraction. Come to the Irvine Improv. I will provide that distraction.
Now bring the relatives or leave the relatives at home?
Bring
okay.
Buy all the tickets. I'm not going to tell you not to.
So it's Friday night, two shows, Saturday night, two shows, and then the cleanup show on Sunday night at 7.
Yeah.
Improv.com, and this time it's the Irvine Improv. Tickets to see the great Brad Williams on stage, by the way, only $22, and of course it is a 21 and up show. Hey, what was harder for your in-laws, and it's weird to be saying that word to you, Brad.
Very weird.
For them to accept about the new member of the family, that you were a dwarf or that you were a comedian?
Oh, I have a story about this. Here we go. When I met my mother-in-law for the very first time, my wife, as we're walking into her place, goes, hey, just so you know, I never told her you're a dwarf.
What? She's awesome.
She never told her. And my wife doesn't have any social media. So there's no pictures. There's no nothing. And so
she never told them. That's genius.
And I'm looking at her like, what is your problem? And she's like, well, she's from San Francisco. She's really tolerant. I'm like, I don't care. This needs a heads up.
You do need a little prep time.
Yeah, no. No mother dreams that her daughter's going to marry this. Like, the mom dreams your daughter's going to marry the groom, not the dude on top of the wedding cake. All right? So I walk in. My mother-in-law thinks I'm the parade before the actual boyfriend.
Now, I gotta stop you, Rob.
Yeah.
What's your name? Brad. I got to stop
you,
Brad, here. Are you horrified because you're afraid that this is going to go poorly, or are you, as a comedian, so excited to see how this plays out because you know it's also going
to
be hilarious?
To be honest, both. Like, but that's my mind normally. I could be flipping a car going, oh, my God, I might die, and in the back of my head going, this is going to be great on stage later.
This is going to be a great bit.
Yeah, exactly. So, I walk in, my mother-in-law is very confused, mm-hmm. and then she wants grandchildren, and she has no idea how dwarfism is going to affect the grandchildren. So one of the first questions she asked me, and she's very accusatory, you know, Chinese, you know, and then she's like, she's Chinese, you're a dwarf. If you have kids, what will they be? And I just looked at her and I went, really good toy makers.
And that was it. You win.
And so mom-in-law doesn't like me too much. But I get it. That's okay. And now, like, that story ends up on stage. And she's been to the show. And
she has.
And she's
Does
seen
she
that.
Does she find you funny?
She finds me funny, but during that bit, I just look out and she's just shaking her head.
Brad, now that you have a wife, are there things that she asks you to not talk about? Because you're a guy who definitely takes your personal life and puts it into the act. Is she saying, oh, this is not for public consumption?
That has happened a couple of times during fights. Like, as we're fighting, she'll go, and this is not ending up on stage. So, which is weird that now we have to address that part of it as well. But, I have a rule that I always check with her because while my career is important, no single joke is more important than my marriage.
What if it's a really great one, though?
Oh, I've argued. I've gone to bat for a couple of jokes. Like,
on! You should get at least a pass for one or two jokes a year, though.
I mean, there's definitely things I have to talk about because, part of my wife's family is from Wisconsin, but she is Chinese, so many times she'll have the Wisconsin accent will come out. And to have a Chinese woman speaking in Wisconsin, that's weird.
Yeah, that is because
it's Chinese, so you're expecting one thing, and then you get, oh, yeah, right there, you're betcha, go Packers. You're like, that doesn't match up.
It's very confusing.
It's very confusing.
All right, we have to take a quick break. Our friend Brad Williams is here, Irvine Improv. 5 big shows for Thanksgiving holiday weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, improv.com. More with Brad right after this on K-Rock.
Are we Facebook Living this?
Yes.
If Muggs is in charge, then.
Who knows?
50-50. You never know exactly how it's going to go.
Right.
Facebook Living Brad Williams' appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's
What's
right.
going on?
Yeah.
What's so special?
Brad is there with his wife, Jasmine.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi.
Welcome.
You're adorable.
Aw, thanks.
I know you get tired of hearing it. I mean, honestly, you must hear it every day, but man, you could have done better.
Oh, no. You don't know me well enough, honey.
No, I've met some Vervexes. I am the top of the mountain, which is unbelievable.
It's absolutely true.
Her picker is broken.
All right, good. But that's for your benefit,
absolutely.
So that works out.
Yeah. I win. Anyway, so Bean, we're going to do something that you love. We know you love surprises on your morning show.
I hate surprises on my morning show. What are you talking about?
Just go with it.
So, okay, for those of you who don't know, Bean has this policy where he will not show up to your event. He tells you he's not going to show up to your event, but then he insists that you invite him.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's rude not to.
He insists that you invite him, and then he immediately RSVPs no.
Right. So you have to spend extra money on an invitation and get his address and do everything that you have to do.
But here's what I know about a wedding.
Yes.
If you can't go to a wedding, you still send a gift. I know that.
Right, because, Kevin, you and your wife sent two gifts. You sent a gift, and then you sent an engagement gift. Allie's not here. She could not make the wedding, but she sent a gift. By the way, she sent me a ladder, which, as a dwarf, is kind of like, F you. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get a dwarf a ladder?
She's trying to help you get sex, I think.
That's
just my guess.
That's like giving an Asian a rice cooker. Like, it's just like, they've got it. I have more ladders in my house than I know what to do with. She sends me a ladder. Anyway.
And what did Bean send you?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
What?
Yet. Don't I have the customary year to come up with a gift?
Well, a year? What?
Is that a year?
I believe it's a year.
Well,
yes, I believe that's etiquette.
We're going to expedite the process a little bit here, Bean. And now you guys have a tradition on this show where for everyone's Christmas gifts, you spin the wheel of Amazon gift cards, right?
What's happening right now?
Yes.
What's going on
so,
right now?
So what we did is we tricked out the wheel to have actual gifts from our registry on it, and we're going to spin the wheel, and whatever it lands on, Bean, that is what you have to get us.
That's the gift. All right.
Okay. Now, first of all, I have not agreed to
so
this.
So here's the list, Bean.
Did
Are you
not
interested?
Even know about this, but no. Before you read the list,
all right.
But I'm
are these actual? I don't trust Brad, so I will ask Mrs. Brad. Jasmine, are these actual gifts that really were on your registry?
Some of them.
Some of them. Okay. So the trip to the moon, for instance, I got to cough up for that.
No.
You just put that on the wheel for fun.
There.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the lowest priced item on here is $2.
Yeah.
So if it lands on that, they get a wine stopper.
Okay, now we're talking. Now, okay. Did you have a bunch of things on your gift registry that people did chose not to get you?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You had a few things that were leftovers. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, what else is on the list, Kevin?
Two is a $20 Macy's gift card.
Not bad, I will allow it.
Three is a $28 picture frame.
It's a really nice picture frame.
Right? Four is a $50 bath rug.
Okay.
Okay. Five is $120 towels.
They really dry off quick.
It's a whole set. They're so pretty.
Right?
They're
so pretty and soft.
Brad, you just need dish towels, though, right? That's all you use?
Well, yeah, but I married an average-sized woman.
Right?
Okay. She needs towels.
Six is a $200 couple's enemas plus free spin. So you got an enema, yes, but also a free spin.
And that was something that was absolutely on the register. Ancient Chinese secret, right, honey?
Okay.
Yeah. You do it with coffee.
Enemas. Okay. Is there a souvenir video of the procedure that goes with that?
Oh, my God. You don't
for
want
an extra
that.
$500, maybe.
Okay.
I like the way you work. So a $250 crystal decanter.
Yeah.
Well, that's absurd. Nobody needs that.
$300 matching Air Jordans.
Well, we're not spinning the wheel.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right
so
now.
It's $275 for her shoes and about $25 for mine.
Right.
We're not spinning the wheel.
A $429 juicer.
Oh, come on.
$1,000.
Thousand.
And a new house. So that's on the wheel.
All right. So how many items am I allowed to remove from the wheel?
Oh, you don't get to remove items. It's just we spin the wheel and whatever it lands
on. He who hesitates has no opinion.
Correct.
We do not listen to you.
I'm not going to be roped into giving away $1,000 in cash. I'm just not.
Could I just suggest maybe you should be more worried about a new house?
I mean, to be fair, you can get me like a doghouse, and I'm happy.
The new house, though, is clearly a comedy gesture, so that's not good.
Says you. These home prices here in Los Angeles are expensive.
Right? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We'll put down payment.
Okay,
down payment on
just the down payment. That's
all right,
that's only 10% of $1.2
million. Right?
So the house is off the wheel. The $1,000
is off
the wheel.
The $1,000 is not off the wheel. I'm looking at the wheel. It looks pretty much the same as when we wrote it up.
Yeah. All right, but I'm just telling you ahead of time
Bean, come on now. This is for their wedding.
I mean,
don't be rude.
We're friends, Bean.
Right. How many spins do we get? One?
We get one unless we land on the $200 couple's enemas, which gives us a bonus spin.
A free spin.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
How many of each item are on the wheel, Brad?
Just one.
One each.
Just one. Okay, I just want to make sure that we're not stacking the wheel here.
No, and there absolutely are those low ticket items.
$2 wine stopper, sure.
Yeah, so you have a chance.
Thousand!
Yeah!
All right, and Beer Mug, you are videoing this so that we know it is a legit spin and a legit land.
It's on Facebook Live.
Yep.
I can't see it.
It's an actual wheel. A lot of people ask us that. Is it an actual wheel? Yes, it is. It's made out of wood. It was made by Mr. Bertram.
And I'm going to allow my lovely bride to make the spin.
All right. Really spin it, though. Really.
Gotcha.
All right. See, I feel weak. Weak. Do it again.
Do it again.
Well, she already spun it now.
Do it again.
There we go.
It already landed on something else.
All right. Come on.
Come on, house. Thousand.
Come on, enemas.
Couples enemas plus free spin.
Yes,
yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Couples enemas. Free spin.
No, sir.
Here comes the second spin. Come on, what's it going to be? Crystal decanter!
$250!
Yeah! Oh, you're the best, Bean. You're the greatest friend a guy could have. I think Bean has left the building.
You still there?
I'm feeling weak.
Again, a quick reminder, if you hear the end of the Ducks call from the game last night that they won in overtime, just be caller 20 or 21 and win tickets to see the Ducks play the Jets this Friday night at Honda Center. That's coming up on K-Rock in just a few minutes. Our man David King Mexico out sick today, so the internet roundup is not entirely 100% all the way posted at krock.com or kevinandbean.com right now.
But it will be very soon.
It will be later on today, and we do have a great batch of videos. So hit it, Steve.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Check it out, y'all.
Internet Roundup. Oh, watch me, baby.
Thug Life.
I'm not sure Thug Life is applicable here, but one of my favorite videos, I think, of the whole year, Kevin, is the Georgia Dome implosion video.
Oh, that was so funny.
I love it so much. By now, you probably heard that the Georgia Dome, which, by the way, was only 25 years old. They're already blowing it up because they built that new stadium for the Falcons to play in next door. But they blew it up yesterday, and the Weather Channel had a camera on the implosion. Now, look, everybody loves to see huge buildings become imploded. But literally in the countdown to the final seconds of the building being blown up, a bus pulls up in the lane in front of the cameraman.
Blocking the view.
Completely blocking the view. All you see is the smoke from the implosion up and around the bus.
And he stays there just long enough for the entire thing to be gone. And then he pulls away and all they see is smoke.
And then he just pulls away. You couldn't have made it any better if you had done it on purpose. You definitely have to watch that. Also, you'll find this interesting. One video goes inside a flat earther convention.
Oh, that's awesome, too.
If you ever wanted to know what those people are really like. And there's a video, if you haven't seen this yet, it's worth checking out because a bunch of Disneyland visitors are sitting down for Star Tours. And who walks in to surprise them but Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill. And that is so cool to see their reaction when he shows up. But we do have some audio to play for you on a couple of the videos. There's a series that we have been spotlighting recently. This is Dave's favorite. It's called Zach Morris is Trash. And I know people love the reruns of Saved by the Bell, but Zach Morris was a terrible person. You can't believe it till you start watching this, all the terrible things he did. And especially in honor of Thanksgiving being this week, this is the time where he disgraced all Native Americans. You won't believe that this was the plot line of an actual Saved by the Bell episode.
It turns out Chief Henry died, probably of shame, and Zach is so distraught about losing this guy he met 2 days ago, he decides he's unable to compete in the championship and abandons his friends who are counting on him. So Chief Henry has to drag his dead spirit to visit Zach in the middle of the night as a ghost, because apparently all the lessons about Zach's ancestors being brave and strong were completely lost on his simple ass. And Zach shows up and competes in the track meet, and everyone applauds this racist idiot. Let's review. Zach Morris made an obscenely offensive presentation based on a random picture he found, was racist and rude to a stranger who was trying to help him, tried to weasel his way out of doing a little work for a 3-minute presentation. And when he finally learned about what the white man did to his people, he did this to his people as a white man, then ditched his friends when they needed him most, forcing a dead guy to come back from the afterlife just to remind him of the heritage he instantly forgot. Zach Morris is trash.
Zach Morris is trash.
You'll never be able to enjoy Saved by the Bell again once you see these series. Speaking of Thanksgiving, Chance the Rapper was the host of Saturday Night Live this past weekend. It was their big Thanksgiving episode, and he realized, hey, there's a lot of money in writing these holiday songs, so he had a great idea during his monologue.
I don't have anything to promote tonight. The only thing I'm here to celebrate is Thanksgiving. And in the spirit of giving, I've pledged to give $1 million to Chicago Public Schools. Thank you. The only problem is I talked to my accountant and I do not have it. So I need to make some money very fast. But then I realized there's no good Thanksgiving songs. And you can make some serious cash off a holiday hit. Mariah Carey is at that tree lighting every year singing All I Want for Christmas Is You. And it's not because she loves giant trees. It's because she loves having a third assistant whose only job is to yell at her second assistant. So tonight, I want to become the Mariah Carey of Thanksgiving.
It's a worthy goal.
Judge for yourself on how successful the song is, but the whole cast comes out and sings a Thanksgiving song. It's very funny. And finally, and I love this video. I don't know if you've been watching Fox News or not lately, but there's nothing at all nefarious going on with President Trump and the Russians. All that's been clear. That's a liberal fantasy. But I'll tell you who needs to be dealt with. Is this old woman who's unemployed who lives in New York named Hillary Clinton. That's the one who's really causing the troubles in this country. The one that we need to open up some investigations for, and we need to somehow get her out of office or lock her up.
She's not in office.
That doesn't matter, Kevin. Okay. She still needs to be impeached, according to the people on the street in Hollywood. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel on his late night ABC show sent the cameras out to ask this question. What should be done to get Hillary Clinton impeached? We have to get rid of this woman, right? Here's what they had to say.
Do you think Hillary Clinton should be impeached?
Yes. Definitely. For what she's done, the way that she's kind of more or less with the Russian deal and all that stuff going on, she definitely should be out.
What kinds of crimes would you include in Hillary's articles of impeachment?
I mean,
That's like a wide range of crimes, political crimes. I think human crimes.
Sure.
I mean, the list could go on.
What would it take for Congress to act now and remove Hillary from office?
Well, they really haven't done anything yet, so I think they should get together definitely and say, hey, this, you know, we the people should take care of the people of the United States, and what she has done is wrong. We should impeach her.
You tell me what is a bigger threat to America.
Okay.
Climate change or Hillary Clinton?
Hillary Clinton.
Guns or Hillary Clinton?
Hillary Clinton.
ISIS or Hillary Clinton?
They're about even.
Yeah. Again, for folks who don't realize it, she doesn't have a job.
She's not in office anywhere.
She can't be impeached is the point. And to their credit, the people on the street, there was one person at the end of the interview who's like, hey, wait a minute. She's not in office. You can check out that video and all the rest later today at KevinDeBean.com or KRock.com. Of course, it's a brand new Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup. Come on, y'all. Internet Roundup.
Oh. Watch me, baby.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51. That band 30 Seconds to Mars is playing night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, which is December 9th. Keep listening for your chance to win tickets.
Yeah, you can also go to KROQ.com and enter to win some there. We have a brand new What's Up with Florida coming up for you next half hour. And believe it or not, this really makes me sad. There are people who are complaining about Santa Claus this year.
Well, because he's a dick.
But right? No, he's not a dick.
Come on now.
And that's not the Christmas spirit, you guys. Can't we have nice things? First, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Marilyn Monroe's still a thing.
I was on a plane Sunday and sat next to a young woman who was probably 25 wearing a Marilyn Monroe t-shirt. And I thought, wow, she's just somebody who just, she lives forever, right? Gets passed down generation to generation, just fall in love with her.
How long have you had that shirt? Do you watch her films? Are you just a fan of the image?
Excuse me, can I switch seats? Is there another seat available online?
I did not discuss her t-shirt.
Do you know who that person is? You know, her real name was Norma Jean. That's a fun fact.
I did take note of the shirt, did not engage.
Well, you're learning.
Well, with all the news lately, I think even Bean is starting to get the hint. Right? Oh, when are they going to start coming out of the woodwork for Bean? Right? Right?
Right.
How many? What do you guess? What's the over-under?
I mean, triple digits for sure, right? I mean, that's a given. It's just...
Anyway, Marilyn Monroe. People still fall over themselves and pay top dollar to pick up collectibles regarding her. She had a pair of earrings. Gold-plated earrings, by the way. Not like... big deal, that were worn by Marilyn in a picture to promote a movie. The 1953 film Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
I can't get myself in the headspace of wanting that, even for someone
the earrings
I like.
She wore in a photo, in an image to promote a film.
That's not it. Even in the movie.
As far as we know, it's not actually in the film.
Okay.
They went at auction yesterday for how much? Gold-plated earrings, by the way. Not solid gold, not 18 karat.
$49.99.
That's an excellent guess, Kevin, because that's why I would tell this story, because they went for 50 bucks. That's why I would bring this up.
I will say $15,000.
That would be a reasonable guess. However, you're off by about 100 grand.
What?
Oh, my God.
$112,500 was the price when the hammer came down.
And they're still attached to Marilyn Monroe's head, right?
Nope.
You literally get her skull.
Just come in a box.
That's
another pair of pearl earrings that she enjoyed in her personal day-to-day life went for $81,250.
I mean, I guess I can see if you love her and she had that in her personal, you know, what she wore every single day.
They were her earrings. I mean, they did belong to her, but still.
I guess I could see that.
That's a pricey collectible right there.
No kidding.
This Murder on the Orient Express is a pretty good size hit for Fox.
I want to see that.
Okay.
It's showing.
Feel free.
So
why not, Bean? This is America.
If you want to see it, I mean, you can
I'm
go.
Hoping maybe over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. I enjoy so many of the actors in that film.
Okay.
All right. Well, you'll be happy to know that Fox has announced they are planning a sequel to the film.
Another Murder on the Orient Express.
Nope. This will be a different Agatha Christie novel, Kevin, called Death on the Nile, which was, of course, featuring the same main character, the detective, played by Kenneth Branagh in this film, and will be played by him in the next film as well. That famous detective, of course, Kevin, is...
Ross Perot.
You know what?
It's
you're not far off.
Very close.
You're not far off.
I know that Perot is close.
Hercule Poirot.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm going to count that as a win.
I think I'm going to give it to you as a win. I was very impressed by that.
I knew that it wasn't Perot, but it was close.
It's Hercule Poirot. That's right. And Dead Kenneth Branagh will play that role again, and they will be bringing him back to the big screen again. So.
You tell me if this is a fun fact or not, but...
It's not.
I rode the Orient Express. I took a trip on the train. It's still in operation, and it's still a beautiful, fun ride. Went from Venice to Milan on the Orient Express one time.
That was Beans!
Fun fact.
Wow.
Very luxurious train.
Oh, man.
Why couldn't everybody on the train have followed suit with the movie?
Exactly.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Everyone. That's all I'm saying. Everyone. And speaking of movies, Charlie Manson may be gone, but Quentin Tarantino is still moving forward with his plans to make his Charlie Manson film. Now, in all fairness, it's not a film about Charles Manson. It will be, however, the Sharon Tate murders will be the backdrop to the main story, which is about a male TV actor in the late 60s who had one hit series and is trying to find a way to get back into the film business. And Margot Robbie is in talks to star as Sharon Tate in the film. And for the lead role, Quentin Tarantino apparently just dealing with people dying to get into this film. And so currently in conversation for the lead, Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Wow.
So he gets his choice, I think, out of those three fellows to star in this film. Who do you pick?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Me too, Kevin. That's so funny. I can say his name, but I would still pick him. Today's celebrity birthdays, the Bella twins, Nikki and Brie Bella, celebrate their 34th birthday today. Which one's marrying John Cena? Is that Nikki? Nikki, I think?
I think so.
Yeah, that's a good-looking couple right there. Carly Rae Jepsen is 32. Bjork is 52. Jenna Malone celebrates her 33 birthday, her 33rd birthday. Michael Strahan's 46. Goldie Hawn is 72. Former quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. And current sportscaster for Fox, Troy Aikman, is 51. Not only Troy Aikman, an excellent broadcaster, in my opinion, maybe one of the best in football, but he puts up with Joe Buck almost every week. Can you imagine?
They're the team, yeah.
What a stud Troy Aikman is to not just reach across the booth and just throttle that guy and throw him from the box down to the people below in the stands.
I think each of them are lucky to have the other
Troy
as a partner.
Aikman is a saint. He's a goddamn saint. What do you think they're saying, Troy, as they come out of the tunnel for the second half? They have to be disappointed by what's happening, don't you think?
Ugh. Just to give another opinion,
I'd like him to burst into flames.
I watched all seven games of that World Series, and I thought he was as outstanding in that series as he ever is.
I think he should stick to baseball. I agree. That's where he belongs.
That would keep him away from you?
Exactly. Ken Block is 50 years old. Ken Griffey Jr. is 48. And Nicolette Sheridan celebrates her 54th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I've heard of the war on Christmas. This time of year, you always hear about the controversy, whether it's Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas, and people have been batting that around for a few years. But now I'm starting to think, Kevin, based on two separate stories I saw this week, that maybe there's a war on Santa.
Right?
I mean, I heard that Santa was the reason for the season. Am I wrong? Do I have that wrong?
According to Britain's National Trust, you do. Because calling him Santa Claus is, quote, lower class.
Oh.
They would prefer that you use Father Time.
Father Christmas, perhaps, maybe.
They would prefer that you use Father Christmas.
Now, the National Trust in Britain is an agency that runs historic buildings there, homes and castles and forts for everything that they're doing over the holidays. They say, no, sir, not to Father Christmas, not Saint Nick. Not Santa Claus, just Father Christmas. That's the only thing you're allowed to use, not Santa Claus. And I thought, well, that's kind of a slap in the face to the old man, right? I mean, he's Santa Claus. He's always been Santa Claus, I thought. But they're saying no. So that's thing one. Thing two is, it used to be a great tradition for kids. I did it, Kevin. You did it. Chip, you did it. We all did it, where you go down to the mall and you stand in line and you wait for Santa and you have your moment on his lap where you get to tell him what it is you want for Christmas, right? We all grew up doing that. That's the way it is. That's being phased out now. And now it is being asked in many places. I saw a place in New York City yesterday. No walk-ups allowed. You can only schedule an appointment online ahead of time.
Yeah, Macy's is saying don't just show up and hope to get in line. You have to go online and you have to get yourself a 30-minute window, and it's a certain time and only show up then.
Right. Appointment only for Santa Claus. Even the Grove here in Los Angeles, same thing. You can show up, but priority appointments for people who book online to see Santa Claus. And I guess they're trying to do it just to make it so the lines aren't too long. I guess they're trying to modernize a little bit, but it seems like it takes some of the magic out of showing up and waiting for Santa. But we wanted to find out more about this, so we asked Dave, hey, is there anyone we can talk to on the phone? And do I have this right? Do we actually have Santa Claus on the line with us here on K-Rock?
Well, it isn't Father Time, I'll tell you that much. What a dummy.
So is help us understand this. According to the British Trust, they say Father Christmas only, right?
Yes, they're a bunch of assholes there in England.
Really? Oh, are they? Yeah. Okay.
I don't know why they have such a stick up their butt about what they call me, but they've said only Father Christmas there in England.
Are you offended by, do you even answer to Father Christmas or Saint Nick or some of these other nicknames?
Well, I like Santa Claus best because that's my goddamn name.
Right. Okay. Well, that's fair enough.
And in England, Father Christmas. Well, I didn't knock up Mrs. Christmas and then I have my kid named Christmas, okay? It's not Father Christmas. I'm freaking Santa Claus.
Okay.
And I would appreciate it if they would use my proper name. So this year, everyone in England gets a big stocking full of reindeer poop.
Okay. Reindeer poop, that seems reasonable. Okay.
Yeah, I used to go with coal, but it's just funnier to put reindeer poop in there than me.
Well, coal is very on the out these days, too.
Yes,
it's not politically
it's coming
correct.
Back, I heard there's one guy promising all the coal jobs are coming back.
And how about that guy? What are you bringing him this year for Christmas?
I'm going to bring him my poop. I like to make it special and personalized. Just a big stocking full of Santa poop.
Okay. All right.
Which is what they call me in Sweden, oddly enough.
Oh, right? Interesting.
Huh. So just Santa poop.
So, again, we appreciate having you on. We know this is a very, very
busy time of year. Oh, I've got those little elves working overtime.
Sure you do.
It's so hard to make an Xbox out of wood and nails.
I bet it is.
Guys, they get it done somehow. I don't know. God bless them. I don't ask. They're unionized now.
Understood, yes. So what about this other thing? Is it just a nod to modern technology that now appointments with Santa have been computerized and we must book ahead rather than just showing up and waiting in line?
Yeah, well, look, let's face it. It's the 21st century, and just lining up in front of me while I sit in my throne, it's kind of outdated, let's face it. But mostly I have to do it because the parents are such a-holes.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
They get tired of waiting with the kids. The kids don't mind waiting. But it's mommy and daddy who've got so much important things to do rather than spend time with their children. Oh, hurry up, fat man, they yell at me from across the mall.
You sound a little bitter.
I would like to kick each one of their asses. And I could do it, too. Even if I'm a couple hundred years old, I can still kick their asses every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Santa, is it time for you to start thinking about maybe stepping down and turning over the job to somebody who's, I don't know, maybe got an attitude more in line with the holiday spirit?
My attitude's fine. It's everyone else's is the problem.
I see.
Me and the kids have a deal. We got it all worked out. We're fine. But it's the grown-ups and people in England who want to say what to call me. And, oh, I don't have time to wait in line. The rest of the world's gone goddamn crazy. But kids, they're the best. I still love them.
Oh, that's good to hear.
They still love me.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
But all you kids out there, you better be nice. Mm-hmm. Or else reindeer poop.
I don't think that's the message.
Thank you, Andy Navarro from Newport Beach and Don Belleville from Menifee, both listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Both picked up tickets. And also some drinks and some food. Great time Friday night at the Honda Center as the Winnipeg Jets come into town to play the Anaheim Ducks. We'll have more tickets for you tomorrow on the program. First, though, how about right now, what's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always
most penis-shaped state is back in the news for another edition of What's Up with Florida. You know, I get nervous these days. There are so many shootings, mass shootings, particularly school shootings, that when I saw early reports about a lockdown at a school in Cocoa, Florida, reports of a gunman in the neighborhood waving around a rifle, I got, you know, that pit of, in my stomach. Oh, my God, what this is going to be. Turns out, Kevin, for once, it's a happy ending.
What?
There's a resident there whose name is Marcus Clayton. Hilariously, by the way, being interviewed in this newscast while wearing just a towel. He had a BB gun and was trying to get a squirrel out of his attic. Okay? Now, I don't know what I wish I knew more of the circumstances.
He was outside?
He was outside shooting at the squirrel as the squirrel went either into the attic or then up onto the roof. A neighbor saw the man running around with a gun and understandably got concerned, called the police. They locked down the nearby school. It turned out it was all just a big misunderstanding. But he gave, I thought, a terrific interview to the local news.
Yeah, a squirrel was in my ceiling, man, and I was trying to get the squirrel out this morning. That was like 7-something this morning, trying to get the squirrel. So I went and got a BB gun. We tried to shoot the squirrel, and that was it. And then 2 hours later, I got the police involved. So my girl, she seen the police while she was putting Christmas lights in the window. She seen the police waving the gun, and she was like, "Babe, it's police out here waving guns, pointing guns at our house." I jumped up for real then. Like, what you mean? Just pointing guns at our house? For what? What's going on?
I want him as an eyewitness.
Same.
On every news story.
Every story.
I love him so much. So no charges, just a misunderstanding, but they suggested maybe, I don't know, don't run around with a BB gun in the neighborhood because it makes people a little bit nervous. Last time we did What's Up with Florida, just a couple of weeks ago, we brought you the story of a woman who was arrested in Lakeland who got a DUI for riding a horse down the highway. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's another story similar back in the news. Here's a Florida man arrested after police caught him drunk driving his lawnmower down a major highway. Fox 13 reported the police in Port St. Lucie noticed a man driving unsteadily down U.S. Highway 1. I love Kenneth Aleshouse, 56 years old. He's not only driving his red snapper lawnmower down the road,
sweet,
but he's carrying a case of Budweiser beer on his lap while he drives. Usually when you hear these stories, and there have been a few over the years of somebody who decides, well, I'm too drunk to drive, that would be dangerous, and I'm not a fool, so I'll just jump on my lawnmower. Usually they're going someplace to get alcohol. That's where most of these stories are, is they're trying to go to the liquor store. This guy had a case of Bud on his lap.
I mean, how's he supposed to get it home?
And he was arrested with a blood alcohol level of 3 times above the legal limit. So don't, maybe don't do that. Here's a bizarre story out of Vero Beach, Florida. This is a man, Jacob Futch is his name. He and his 3 kids were awakened by a tremendous racket on the roof of the house. I know it sounds like Santa Claus is coming early, but there is a guy up there who is howling and jumping up and down on his house at 6 o'clock in the morning on November the 11th. So they called the police, and it turned out that this guy was high on meth. In fact, he admitted that he had injected meth into himself at approximately 2 a.m. But he had a very good reason for being on the man's roof. He claimed he was having a meeting with a DEA agent up on the roof.
Okay.
Why the DEA agent would be meeting with this guy who is all filled up with meth, and why it would be the meeting would be happening on the roof of
a
stranger?
No, we can't use a car. We can't use an office. Let's go on a stranger's house.
Let's go on some dude's
on the roof.
Exactly, yes. Here's a very bad man who is an ex-firefighter. He was fired from the county fire department earlier this year, but he had a great idea because he sees what happens when a fire breaks out. So what he did is he went to a Walmart. Now, Kevin, don't get any ideas because I know how you love fire.
I do love fire.
He went to a Walmart, and he loaded up a bunch of stuff into a cart that were flammable and then set the cart on fire at the entrance to the store.
Oh, that seems bad.
Because then there's all sorts of commotion. Firefighters show up. People start running. He was one of them who grabbed a bunch of other stuff from inside the store, figuring he would create his own cover to get out of the store. And all the commotion, he would get away with it. Somehow his plan fell apart and it didn't work and he was arrested. But that's a bad idea for anybody. But an ex-firefighter to be an arsonist, that hits me the wrong way. Here, I'm sorry, you did what now?
What?
I'm sorry, again, what? Please? It sounded like you were saying something as you were coughing there.
Up in Florida.
And here is finally one of the strangest 911 calls you'll ever hear. This is a Florida man who is involved in a high-speed chase. The police pulled him over for something else and noticed that he was very high and there was a very strong smell of marijuana in his automobile. So they wanted to write him a ticket, but instead he stepped on the gas and led the police on a nearly 10-mile case. The 911 call is interesting for a couple of reasons, and I think you might enjoy hearing some of it.
Eric Leon Friedberg sounded desperate as he led police on a car chase early Tuesday morning.
I need your help, please. I'm begging you.
There is a police officer that is a legit police officer behind you trying to pull you over.
It began after police found 33-year-old Friedberg and a quantity of pot in his car in Okeechobee, Florida. They say Friedberg's reaction was to stuff the pot in his mouth and take off, dialing 911 on the way.
By the way, he sounds awfully amped up for a guy who's just ingested a bunch of pot.
Yeah, maybe it hasn't kicked in yet.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe this is the downer that he needed from whatever previous upper he had before. All right, back to the call.
You need to do exactly what they tell you to do. Okay?
During the 911 call, Friedberg begged for help as he took officers on a 10-mile chase through Collier County.
Call my mom. Please call my mom.
And police say the call only got stranger.
I want to speak to President Trump. I want to speak to the President of the United States of America. Donald Trump is a close friend of mine.
Okay.
I hope you put him through.
Did you catch all that?
Donald Trump is a close friend of mine.
The president is a close friend of mine. This guy's in a high-speed chase. 911 is saying, sir, you have to pull over. He's like, you got to get my mom on the line. No. Now put the president on the line. If you missed it, listen again about his close relationship with Mr. Trump. I don't know where that comes from or how likely it is to work.
Once police were able to stop Friedberg's car, they arrested him.
Right now, you're the one that's breaking the law.
How?
Okay, you're committing a felony right by running from the police.
By the way, I love his answer. You're the one who's breaking the law. How?
How?
I'm going to quiz you on that.
He's indignant.
What makes you think I'm breaking the law as he's leading police on a high-speed chase and he's high?
Friedberg now faces several felony charges, including fleeing and eluding an officer, aggravated assault on an officer, and drug possession.
I know we joke about this. We talk about how awful Florida is, and thank God we don't live there. But I'm telling you, the longer this show is on the air and the more What's Up with Florida we do, I am becoming very attracted to the idea of moving there.
Right? Wouldn't it be awesome to live in a place like that?
I'm starting to think that maybe Florida is awesome after all. But this has been What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54.
A lot of fond memories being stirred up about the Butterball Turkey Hotline. You'll be happy to know.
Not really.
A lot of people are happy now as a result
like they
of
are.
Hearing those calls till the bad man killed it. Now we don't get to do it anymore.
No, sir.
Hey, Ralph is here. It is Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What is going on, my friend?
This Charlie Rose story dominating the headlines. Charlie Rose, of course, longtime television journalist, had a show on PBS for a long time. Then 60 Minutes. He's one of the co-hosts of CBS This Morning. He has been charged with not one, not two, but eight different women who have come forward and said they were the victims of improper sexual advances from Charlie Rose. It involved lewd phone calls they would receive. It would involve him walking around naked in their presence while they were trying to work. Him groping their breasts, buttocks, or genital areas. Rose, 75 years old, said, he issued one of those weird apologies where it says, it's essential that these women know I hear them. And that I deeply apologize for my inappropriate behavior. So it sounds as if he is copping to some, if not all, of this. He has been suspended from PBS, from CBS, from Bloomberg, all different organizations that he was working for, pending investigations. And this morning, his co-host, he's got two female co-hosts on CBS This Morning. So you can imagine their position. Gail King, of course, said he does not get a pass here. And co-host Nora O'Donnell had this to say about their co-worker.
This is a moment
that demands a frank and honest assessment about where we stand and more generally the safety of women. Let me be very clear. There is no excuse for this alleged behavior. It is systematic and pervasive. And I've been doing a lot of listening, and I'm going to continue to do that. This I know is true. Women cannot achieve equality in the workplace or in society until there is a reckoning and a taking of responsibility. I'm really proud to work at CBS News. There are so many incredible people here, especially on this show, mm-hmm. all of you here. This will be investigated. This has to end. This behavior is wrong, period.
Wow. Must be quite a shock for them.
Agreed.
Side by side with Charlie Rose for years and have never seen anything like that in their experience. This was a complete surprise to them, it sounds like.
Right.
But and that's what we heard from so many of the people who have worked so closely with Senator Franken for all these years, who've said, you know, I've been around him for 10 years and he's never even looked at a woman inappropriately. So it's a, yeah. it's just you literally have no idea what's in someone's past, I guess.
No, nor do we know that so many men were engaging in this kind of behavior on such a regular basis. It really is. We're starting to recognize so much more rampant and widespread than we ever could imagine. So deeply disturbing. Let's move on to something hilariously funny. And it was Rita Ora. Familiar with Rita Ora?
Yeah, pop singer.
Lovely singer, songwriter.
Yeah, pop singer.
Pop singer Rita Ora. Kevin, happy for the assist there, Bean. Well, she played a hilarious practical joke on The Voice in Germany. There's international versions for all of these singing right. competition shows. The Voice has versions all over the world, including in Germany. And she thought it'd be hilarious to sing a Rita Ora hit. While the judges had their backs turned in the chairs, she gets on stage, starts singing a Rita Ora song. They love her. They think she's terrific. They hit the button. They spin their chairs around. And hilarity ensues because they see Rita Ora is standing there in front of them. Here's the problem, however. First part went well. She started singing. It sounded great. All four judges hit the button and spun around on their chairs to see who was singing. And then they had no idea who she was.
Is that right?
First that she said...
Is that right?
She was done singing. Okay, how did I do? Said Rita. Wink, wink. One guy said, it sounded almost like the original. The other judge said, yes, it really did. The third judge said, what's your name? Where are you from? Ora said, my name is Rita Ora.
That's awesome.
The judge said, you're kidding us. Just let me know. Are you an impersonator? Or said, no, I'm not an impersonator. It is me.
That's awesome.
How awkward is that?
Yes. It's very awkward.
That's great.
The point of the practical joke is everyone's going to be so surprised when they see big star me standing in front of them and no one knew it was Rita Ora.
That's great.
Because she's just not that famous. Don't do that if you're not that famous, I guess is the moral of the story.
Yeah, Gwen Stefani can pull that
off.
Rita Ora cannot.
Right.
I wonder if there was any thought in her mind and especially in her people's mind of, you can't let that air, but I think the show's live, right? The show's probably live.
Yeah,
if it's like The Voice in America. Oh, man, that's funny.
Awesome. Well, that was a miscalculation.
So much so. Oh, can you imagine?
I feel terrible for her.
I think it's awesome. Because if you got there thinking, well, they're going to be so impressed when the real Rita Ora stuff, that you better be goddamn sure that Rita Ora is somebody.
I mean, look.
Wouldn't you say, I'm not going out there because they might not know who I am. Why would I embarrass myself?
Yes.
Yeah. That's sheer gall. Balls for her to assume that everyone would automatically recognize her. Because even me, I know the name, and I've seen photos of her, and I know she's an attractive girl. But if you put her in front of me, I wouldn't know it was Rita Ora.
Right. Totally.
Right.
That's crazy.
Bloody well right. Today's celebrity birthdays. The Bella Twins from the world of wrestling, Nikki and Brie, both celebrate their 34th birthday. It wouldn't make sense because they're twins.
Sure.
Carly Rae Jepsen. There it is again.
Yeah.
There's that noise.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do. I enjoy her work very much.
Yeah.
Do you sit on a tack to get that sound? What do you have to do to get that?
You have to grab yourself? What?
Oh. How? You made it worse, Kevin.
That's what I do.
I'm reporting you to HR.
32 I feel harassed. Years old today. Bjork is 52. Jenna Malone is 33. Michael Strahan's 46. Goldie Hawn's 72. Troy Aikman,
from Fox Broadcasting, of course, longtime QB. He is 51 years old. Ken Block is 50. Ken Griffey Jr., the baseball player, is 48 years old. And Nicolette Sheridan turns 54. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, it's 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Hey, it's Garmin time, you guys. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
We've been talking about these Charlie Rose accusations all morning long. Eight women have stepped forward and accused him of improper sexual advances. They say Charlie Rose gave them lewd phone calls at all times of the day and night, walked around naked in their presence, inappropriately grabbed their breasts, buttocks, and genital areas. The 75-year-old journalist had worked for PBS, CBS, Bloomberg. And as of this morning, just now, the news broke. CBS has indeed fired Charlie Rose. He was suspended, and now he has been fired from CBS. So he'll no longer be hosting that This Morning show in the wake of all these women who have stepped forward and told similar stories about how he was beyond aggressive sexually and all the improper and harassing things he did to them. So he's out of a job, which is a start. Now let's file some charges.
Yeah, exactly. I know the focus should be on the victims, and I hope that they get some satisfaction out of this. But does a guy like Charlie Rose, is he never employable again?
No.
Is that it?
That's it.
I think so.
In this format. I mean, I'm not saying he can't go become a greeter at Walmart or something. I'm not saying he can't go get a job. But
you can't see a media company hiring.
No, who would? Yeah. Especially a newsman who's supposed to be someone you can trust?
Well, yeah.
No.
There has to be a modicum of trust if you're taking the news from someone. I just believe that that's a byproduct of the nature of the beast. I mean, you need to be able to know that what you're getting from someone is a person of quality is giving you information. It's part and parcel of the job, I think.
And even though, you know, to use another high-profile example, you know, Bill O'Reilly had payout after payout after payout, totaling millions and millions of dollars. There even came a point where Fox would say, no, we can't have him on anymore, right?
Yeah.
Just got too hot to handle, and that looks like the direction we're going.
Yeah. More importantly, the only way to impress upon other people like the Charlie Roses of the world, even if you can't reach them by saying how inappropriate it is to do to someone else, think of the person that you're putting through this. And it seems to me that they lack a certain amount of empathy or else they wouldn't be doing it in the first place. The only way to reach them is to make them recognize their own personal loss that will be befalling them if they continue to behave this way. And that is cost them their jobs, cost them their social status, cost them their positions in whatever communities they're working in. Let them know that these actions come with repercussions that will affect them personally. And maybe if we can't reach them just through common decency, we can reach them through these punitive actions that people are happening, that's happening to them.
You might be able to reach other people as well with these punitive actions just to make sure that they get the message that this is not acceptable.
That's what I'm saying, that these guys become examples to people who are paying attention.
Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think?
No word from Diplo. We're still waiting for his public statement, but they said maybe
this
a press
is all
conference
well and good,
later
but
today.
What does Yoko think?
Yoko apparently also will be having a press conference later on the day, and we'll find out what's going on with her. Panic at the Disco has announced they're going to release a live album on December 15th. It's a two-disc set called All My Friends Were Glorious, and it was recorded at the band's 2016 tour for its Death of a Bachelor album. And there's also going to be live cover versions of Billy Joel's Movin' Out.
Wow.
But look, if anybody can do a cover song, I put my faith in Panic at the Disco 100%.
Agreed.
And, of course, Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody, which they did for us at the Almost Acoustic Christmas last year, and Weenie Roast, and it was just freaking amazing. So, no, that's, I don't believe that is their version of Bohemian Rhapsody. I think it's a different.
Listen.
Yes, this is
Mama.
Oh, no, wait a minute. This is
Just Kill a Man.
William Shatner's version.
What?
Put a gun against his head.
Then what happened?
Pulled my trigger.
Now he's dead.
Best thing
Mama,
ever.
We don't
play this one enough.
Life had just begun.
Cry, Bill.
But now I've gone and thrown it all away.
Yeah. Remember the first time.
William Hung. After time, really, Bill? We don't have...
I've done my sentence.
Come on, William.
Committed no crime.
We don't need...
Panic! The Disco's lost a step, I think.
Need your version. This is not the same song. It's not even the same song. This is We Are the Champions. Now you're just now you're stretching it too thin. Now the joke has no longer become a joke. Now it's just an embarrassment. This is We Are the Champions.
Wait till you hear this note. Different song. But wait till you hear this.
Just killed a man.
Kanye.
Put my gun up to his head. Pulled a trigger, now he's dead.
Oh my god.
Mama.
Why does anyone try this song?
Life and
death. Yeah, cop out. Let them sing it.
But now.
So he can't sing. That's what we learned there, right?
Right,
that
exactly.
He can't sing. Yeah. He's the worst.
Hey, Ruff.
What?
When you mentioned Billy Joel, were you going to lead into the TV announcement about Billy Joel that was made yesterday? So I don't want to jump in and then screw it up if you had a plan for that at all.
You talking about the Arrow series?
Yeah. What about that?
It's not a big story.
It's kind of a weird. I mean, in a million years, would you have predicted Billy Joel would ever end up on the TV show Arrow?
Well, they're just letting him use some stock footage from one of his concerts.
Oh, he's not going to be shooting anything new for it.
No.
Oh, I thought
he's not going to put on a suit and join him.
No, I, what
he's
I thought
be
was
part of Team Arrow fighting crime in Starling City.
Like a piano keyboard outfit.
I thought they were going to film
the music
it.
Man.
They were going to have him at a concert, type setting, and then they were going to film things going on in the crowd while he's up on stage playing and stuff. Like, it would be new footage. Like, he was actually going to participate in the show. I didn't know. It was just going to be
Maybe read trickery. The story next time. Maybe read the story.
I only read headlines. I don't have time to read stories.
That
I only read headlines.
Help us. A lot of the time, that does not help us.
You know, no. The CW series Arrow, their Thanksgiving episode, they do have a storyline where the villain, Caden James, if you follow the show at all, he's like the super activist, hacker, bad guy on that show. Played by my buddy Michael Emerson, by the way. He's doing a terrific job on that show. There is a terrorist attack by this villain at one of Billy Joel's concerts, and Billy Joel has given them permission to use footage from a Nassau Coliseum Long Island show that he did. They allowed him to use the concert footage in the episode. So they'll be editing that into the episode.
That's kind of cool. That's not nearly as exciting as I hope.
You should read further than just the headline.
I'm a very busy man.
I'm saying a couple of sentences, maybe.
Just saying. It's,
you have to read the whole thing.
It wasn't a lot of work to get the actual facts of this.
Well, you're a better journalist than I am, apparently.
I'm not a journalist. I'm just a better reader than you are, apparently. I just read the words that are printed.
I see.
Today's celebrity birthdays, the Bella Twins, Nikki and Brie, 34 years old today. Carly Rae Jepsen celebrates her 32nd birthday.
Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy.
Crazy.
But here's my number, so call me.
Oh, no. We get that static problem again.
What happened?
We got to check the wiring, because it seems like
it's been fine all day.
Oh, it's better now.
Oh, it's so weird.
That's
weird. Just kick the console. Sometimes that helps.
Maybe that's what it is, yeah.
Bjork is 52 years old today. Jenna Malone celebrates her 33rd birthday. Michael Strahan, former New York Giant and now currently on the ABC morning television show. He's 46 years old. Goldie Hawn is 72. Troy Aikman, good day for former football player broadcasters. He's 51. Ken Block, the race car driver, is 50. Ken Griffey Jr., baseball legend, 48. And Nicolette Sheridan celebrates her 54th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out to SoCal Helpful Honda Dealers. Talk tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday, but it's sort of Friday-ish, as it's Thanksgiving week. So we got Keep It 100. We have the movie beat tomorrow. It's Wednesday, so we're doing the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. We have RJ Bell in Las Vegas with his picks for NFL Week 12. Nope. We have Ashley Escada on the program. Talk to us about net neutrality. And Dan Gilroy. It was the writer-director of Roman J. Israel Esquire. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.